Triple M Footy lives on Listener. Thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M Footy starts your weekend early.
We love it!
With every massive moment.
Stand up and applaud.
Great stuff.
This
is exquisite rugby league.
Is the Triple M Thursday scrum. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, back by popular demand in its second week, it is the Thursday scrum as we count down to a blockbuster between the Broncos and the Rabbitohs. Emma Lawrence, Wade Graham and James Graham here tonight. Or do we have him, Wado?
Yeah,
we
seem to be.
We're missing. What has happened to James Graham?
Two weeks in and we're missing one of the Graham brothers. It's unacceptable. And we're going to delve into why he's not here soon, but we better welcome our other guest who's Triple M's mentality, the next man up. Ryan Gerd has come off the bench. Gerd, how are you?
Thanks for having me, guys. It's an honour to be part of this special Thursday evening.
Is it really? When you got the call, were you thinking, oh, my goodness, an hour and a half with these two gibberers, or were you excited to be with us?
And when they said you were involved, I was just like, you know, get out of my way. And it's interesting, you know, we're going to speak about where Jimmy is. And I heard all those rumours coming out of the north of England that he was the Ron Jeremy around those parts. And obviously, you know, especially in that industry, it's hard to keep a good man down. And it looks like he's got involved again over here in some acting, has he?
All right, Wado, you've got all the details. Tell me, where is Jimmy right
well,
now?
Well, we are expecting him at some point during the show. So why he's not here, let's just kick him while he's down. And
that's what we do at Triple M.
As we do. So he's currently making his acting debut in a series called Plum. It's about rugby league over in the north of England. He's starring, I believe, as a 55-year-old coach of one of the teams over there. And the mail that I've got is the reason he's running late is because how old is Jimmy? He's 37?
He's like, didn't I say that?
He's older than me and younger than 40, we'll say that. So I'm 34. And so they're trying to turn him into a 55-year-old. He goes into the makeup and the dressing rooms, spends overtime in there, and comes out looking the same as he always has. So I don't know if they're trying to make him look younger or older.
How do they go making him look younger, I was going to say.
How do you make a bloke look older?
How do you think he'd go with his lines, delivering a line, you know? Because we know that he likes to go on his little rants on a weekend and when he's with us here on a Thursday or a Friday, whenever he gets his opportunity. How do you think he'd go delivering, like, a specific line?
Well, knowing him, he'd want to know the thought process behind his lines, why they're being delivered, how they're being delivered, who wrote them, why'd they come up with them, the perception of they're meant to come across. So that's our man, Jimmy. He's a deep thinker.
That's great.
Charlie actually has, our producer, before we'll finish up on this subject and get into the footy, he has some behind the scenes
footage
of today. So
can we put it up on our socials?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to discuss that with Charlie, but he needs a bit of redemption. Jimmy went hard at him on air last week about Vegas, and Charlie really couldn't defend himself. So I think he's got some ammo and some right to deliver back while he's not here.
I think we should do it. I think Jimmy's just messaged us all and said, I'll be there at 6:30. So let's stick the boot in again once he arrives. But for now, we will talk a little bit of footy because what a match we have tonight, the Rabbitohs and the Broncos. Big loss for the Bunnies. But better news in a sense, we thought Jairo could be out for the entire season with that rotator cuff injury. Now he's not going to have the surgery. Wade, I know you've had rotator cuff issues before. Talk us through, why would he opt not to go through with the surgery?
Yeah, well, just reading into it from someone who's experienced it along my career, I'm assuming that they're going to give it a go of rehabbing it and making the stronger shoulder enough and stable enough just through the process of the rehab and the strength work instead of opting for surgery. Now, all it basically does mean is he's a chance, right? If the rehab comes good and makes his shoulder strong enough and stable enough to play the game, well, then we'll see him play this year. But there's no guarantee that that will work, and he may need surgery down the track to stabilise the shoulder. But it's sort of a lose-lose situation. If you have the shoulder surgery and the full reco straight away, you're missing the year regardless, right? So I think they're going to give him maybe a certain window, the physio, a 6 to 8 week window possibly to try and strengthen that shoulder up, see if it's strong enough to play the game. And if not, 8 weeks delay in the surgery is not really going to affect his off-season or his pre-season. So it's probably worth this early in the year to give it a go at strengthening that shoulder so he gets back out on the field sometime this season.
Gerds, how big of a loss is
he? They've got nothing to lose. Yeah, he's a massive loss. And I think it also comes back to the depth they have in those positions, Em. You know, like Host is out at the moment, so young Talis Duncan comes in, gets an opportunity tonight. But it's also the way that he plays, the mentality he brings to their training sessions, to the way that they turn up on weekends. You know, if we watch South over the last couple of years, that's been their downfall, the intensity or playing with a certain intensity for long periods of time. Well, that's what Jai Arrow does. So that's kind of his bread and butter. And as Wade said, you know, they've got nothing to lose. There's no worse news as a footballer, round one, the potentially miss the whole season. You would do absolutely anything just to rehab that, try and get back for the back end of the season. He'd be confident his club's going to play in the finals. That'll be his focus. Hopefully they can get him back, get him rehabbed, and they can work out some strapping or some different methods to keep him on the field because South Sydney, they need him.
Both teams coming off a loss. So the Rabbitohs went down to the Seagulls over in Vegas. So both have had this extended break. The Broncos went down to the Roosters in Vegas. A lot of hype. Obviously, Broncos coming off a grand final. Rabbitohs, lots of hype around them. The fact that they've got Jack Whiten this year. Not that he's back yet. He's still suspended. Who's more desperate for a victory tonight, Wade?
Yeah, well, it's a massive game for both clubs because you're right. There's a level with these two clubs in particular. There's a level of expectation coming into the season and pressure. One with the Broncos because they've just come off a grand final year, put an effort in that grand final, which, you know, 9 times out of 10, you could almost say they should have put away, except, you know, take away a Nathan Cleary masterclass to snatch that for the Panthers. So when you climb the top of the tree, with that comes pressure, and you know you're the hunted now. You're not the hunting. So to go 0-2 to start off their campaign, you know, after a grand final year would be disastrous. But I kind of think it's bigger for South just because they were leading the comp halfway through last year. Most people, myself included, had them as premiership favourites after they knocked off Penrith, after they knocked off the Broncos back-to-back weeks. And just their fade-out really, I think the stats show is the worst fade out in NRL history. So there's definitely pressure and external expectation on them. So for them to go 0-2, and for both teams, it doesn't get any easier next week either. The Souths have the Roosters and Broncos have Penrith. So one of these teams is going to be 0-2 by the end of tonight, staring down the barrel of, you know, a top of the table clash or one of the better teams in the competition. So I kind of feel like Souths need this more than Brisbane. But yeah, it's a tight one.
Gerds, do you think the Rabbitohs are feeling that pressure and that expectation because they missed the eight last year when many tipped them to win the comp? So everyone's expecting them to be up there in like at least finals, if not a top four, with the roster that they have. And the fact that it's a tough draw to start the season, are they feeling that pressure? There's already whispers too about Jason Demetrio and is he under pressure?
Yeah, I think all that speculation's in the media, Em, to be honest. I mean, we're sort of quick to outrage these days. It's round two, and I'm hearing all week about the drama surrounding this game. I mean, it's great for us to build it up, and it brings the fans in, and it gets a lot of interest in it. But these sides, they've got quality rosters. They know that last week they'll be better this week than they were last week. They're building into their season. The Brisbane Broncos, you know, they've had some key wholesale changes to their team, and some of those sort of got exposed last week. They'll improve those areas, their left edge defensively. And South Sydney, I don't think it's about, you know, what time of the season is or where they stand. It's about, you know, what's actually wrong with the way that they play footy over the last, you know, Wado said it, the back end of last year, they fell away. It was hard to really explain or understand what happened to them with the talent they have in their side. And then they just weren't able to get it back. And they showed that last week that for periods, you know, they're one of the best attacking sides in the competition, but you don't win premierships or have success in the NRL on attack alone. You need to be a defensive side. And I think that's where their issues are. And if they haven't gone away and worked on that and changed their mentality around, you know, defending for long periods of time and being able to sustain pressure on their own line, and they're happy to give away points with the attitude that, hey, we're going to score more than you, well, they're going to fall into the same traps as last year. So yeah, tonight's important for both of these sides, not so much for the 2 points, I don't believe, but just to get their season, just to start playing and building into their season so that they get a little bit of confidence and they hit the ground running.
But it is good to finally be back. Wado and I have been working away, but James Graham has gotten away with an outrageous story. So he was late, Wade.
He was late. I've heard.
Would you like to explain
I've heard Saved by the Bell before, but I've never heard Saved by the Technical Issue. James was actually half an hour late. He's caught up taking makeup off or putting it on still over at your movie set, and we just had all the dirt and all the dish on him, but unfortunately the issue saved him and now he's here on time.
Yes, that is correct. I was filming for the production of Plum, where I play the Super League coach. Things ran a little bit late there. I was stressing. I was flapping a little bit. Obviously, I prioritised my Triple M commitments above all else. And, they had to cut the shoot short in order for me to get here, even though I was slightly late. But it seems as though sometimes the stars align.
It
was meant to be.
Can you clarify one? Is it a rumor or a trumor that you spend an hour in makeup trying to be made to look like a 55-year-old, and then you come out? Well, there's no change.
I'd need a long time to look like a 55-year-old.
To make you look younger or older?
Well, the coach technically, he was a bit older than I am, but they said let's just go with the natural look, which.
So you're playing a 55-year-old?
No, a 50-year-old. Well, you know, a 45, 50.
What is it, 45 or 50?
Well, you know, ballpark.
Okay. That's all right.
You're actually looking good for 50, James.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I kind of was thinking they were going to put a few greys in. Maybe I already have them. I don't know. I don't see them. I thought they'd throw a few extra wrinkles on, but no, they were just happy with what they saw, which was concerning.
And when can we expect to see this out?
I believe it won't be coming out until next year, unfortunately. Okay. So you're going to have to hold tight, Emma. Okay. But yeah, it was a really fun experience, like something that took me totally out of my comfort zone. Brendan Cowell, big Sharks fan, outstanding for me. But I really enjoyed it. It was a new experience and something I couldn't say no to.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back, but because we knew you weren't here, we called in the reinforcements and we did get Ryan Girdler involved. Girds.
No, it's been really nice being part of the show, guys. My time. I'm just going to go and hang out with Toddy and get ready to call the footy. How's that sound?
No, you gave some incredible insights, which didn't even make it to air. So we'll make sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, the insight that I gave him, Jimmy, was the fact that there were rumours that you were the sort of the Ron Jeremy of Northern England. And I obviously, you know, didn't know too much about that, and then you come over here and it's, as they say in that industry, it's really hard to keep a good man down, and apparently you're back at it. Is that true?
Yeah, there's no business like show business, Gerds.
You know.
Gerds, are you looking forward to the game up there at Suncorp Stadium? It's a blockbuster. I know we probably say that about plenty of games, but two teams that lost in Vegas, desperate for a win.
Yeah.
Probably plenty of emotion around the Broncos this week after what's gone down. The Rabbitohs, someone like Latrell Mitchell will be fired up. They've got no Jai Arrow, but there's lots on the line for this one.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. On two of the heavyweights, and look, they didn't get off to the start that they would have liked, but I don't think anyone would be panicking. There's been a lot of noise through the week about how desperate they'll be. I think they'll be desperate to build on round one performances, but the players aren't thinking about finals. They're just thinking about, you know, building combinations at this time of year, getting some fitness under their belt, getting their timing back. So both of those sides will come out tonight, and I think they'll both be confident they can get the job done. But the issue, I think, for the Rabbits, and I guess we've all been talking about it now for almost 12 months after their brilliant start to the season last year, is, you know, what is it about their game that just doesn't allow them compete with, you know, the other teams in the competition that look like they're going to be heading for, you know, to try and get a premiership? And for me, it's just their intensity, you know, especially defensively. Like in the NRL, you don't win premierships with your attack. You know, you look at all the clubs that have had success over the years and they've all got, you know, probably in the top three defensive records in the competition. So I think South would have been doing a lot of work on that in the off-season. We didn't see really any change in their behaviours in round one. And I think that, you know, this week, if I'm JD and the boys, the focus is about, you know, playing an intense style of football defensively and just letting our attack work off the back of the defence that we're willing to go out there and roll the sleeves up and get into.
I think you're 100% correct, Geds, in terms of South Sydney's defence, their attitude to defence. I think they need to be tougher mentally when it comes to that side of the game, but also their game management. If you look back to that Manly game, I thought Manly started the better of the two teams in the opening exchanges. Manly came, South weathered that storm. They go in at halftime. There's some great desperation defence from South Sydney. I'm thinking of the Ilias chase back. There was a great try save from Damien Cook and Latrell Mitchell, which kept them in the game. Then straight after halftime, they score two quick tries. They capitalise on Manly's mistakes, and then they're in control of the game of football there. And you know, anybody watching that just think, you know, Souths continue on and they build on this victory and shut the game out, but they didn't. They compounded errors with more errors and invited Manly back in. So against the top teams, you just can't afford to do that, Wade.
No, and I agree with you both there, but I know it's only early in the season, but I'd say there would be a little bit of internal pressure amongst both teams because, you know, with these two teams, there's expectation coming into this season, right? Broncos are coming off a grand final. You know, narrowly going down to a Penrith team that pulled something special out of the bag to win that game. And South Sydney, with where they were last year at the midway point of the competition and their slide, when many people had them, you know, certainly me, as premiership's favourites, before a ball was kicked off, there is that internal pressure and expectation because you want to deliver. Now, one of these teams, these heavyweights, is going to go down 0-2 tonight. And then they're both staring down the barrel. Souths have got the Roosters next week and Broncos have Penrith. So I know, again, it is the start of the season, but, you know, 0-2, 0-3 for either of these sides, it's not a disaster, but it's nowhere near where they would be, you know, where they would have set their goals all pre-season.
Time now to talk about Benji Marshall, his first year as a head coach of the West Tigers. And in the Daily Telegraph today, there was an article by Bulldog Dean Ritchie, essentially saying that there are some question marks over Benji Marshall's coaching style, and he's been getting information that Benji is apparently coming in 3 hours later than other coaches when most coaches get in at 5 or 6 a.m. Benji himself has been quoted saying he's not a 24/7 coach, but Benji really has always done things a bit differently, even throughout his playing career. Wade, where do you sit on this? Do you think it's however you want to coach, you bring your style into it? Or do you think it has to be the set way, hours and hours and analysing every minute little detail?
Well, no, I think as to be a coach and to be a successful coach in your own right, you need to have your own philosophy and your own beliefs, you know, and go about things the way you want to go about. And that's what sets you apart as a coach. Now, I read the article and I was sort of, it was neither here nor there. It was more just a statement of facts. It wasn't really whether he was on an opinion on either side. On one hand, he said, you know, could he be the new Maverick, like the new wave of coaches? He keeps social media. He's not a 24/7 kind of guy. And then on the other hand, he had a list of statements from anonymous sources saying that, no, it's not going to work because a coach needs to put in X amount of hours, needs to do this, dot these T's, dot the I's, sorry, cross the T's. Yeah, and I was sort of like, well, no, like Benji's the head coach, okay? So whatever his belief is and whatever his philosophy is, he's got to trust that before he can give that onto the team and onto the players. And before a ball has even been kicked to be judging his style, I think it's a bit unfair. Like, fair enough, once he's had a year of coaching, we can reflect back. And if it wasn't successful, you can look at things and say, well, maybe he wasn't doing that, putting the time in or the effort in, or he needs to sharpen up in this area. But to have a shot at him before he's even, like, a ball's been kicked off, I think it's unfair. And I think whatever makes you want to be a coach, whatever you believe in, whatever your philosophy is, you need to have enough self-confidence, as Benji does, and self-belief to get the team to fall in the line. Otherwise, you're wasting your time in that industry.
And not going in at 5 a.m., that doesn't mean you're not a hard worker, because Benji, when he took the role, said, I took it because I like taking challenges and I like proving to people that I can do things. So he's a high achiever. We've seen that throughout his career. He's determined as ever. Does it necessarily have to be that you have to get there at 5 or 6 a.m.?
I think you do.
You think? Why is that?
Coach, you need to be first in. You need to watch the players walk in to the training facility. It's something.
I don't think the article said he wasn't in before the players. I think he said there's other coaches in before him.
Oh, All right. So obviously, this could be taken out of context. And if what the article alludes to is true, then you've got to start to ask questions. Firstly, who's leaking this information? Like, that's not a good sign. So who's the gossip monger? Who can't wait to gossip to the press? You probably want to address that issue straight away. But if it is true, like, look, coaching philosophies differ from coach to coach, but the passport to any form of success in sport is through hard work, dedication. And you know what? You can come from it from a different point of view, and there's different philosophies around setting up environments. But I think, you know, I've listened to people talk about Sir Alex Ferguson before and say he oversaw training, but they didn't hear his voice until game day. But that was with some of the best players in the world of football, in soccer, that the world had ever seen. And that team pretty much ran itself. And then the coach would come in, the manager, he was a manager, not a coach. So he would come in and talk to them on game day because he didn't want the players to get sick of hearing the same voice over and over again. But that said, he would always be in first, and his office faced the car park. So he'd watch the players come in and see what type of their body language was, their attitudes was as they were walking in, when he was watching them without them knowing they were being watched. So I think for coaches, they kind of have to be. They have to show that this work ethic, because you want your players to work hard, and you kind of have to have that infectious behaviour in showing that you're not going to have any stone unturned. You're going to look at everything. You're going to be so detailed. And yeah, I don't like this modern approach to some footballers where, I don't watch any games. Like, you what? You don't watch the game. You're playing against these people week in, week out, and you don't actually watch it. You're not looking for you're not looking for patterns of play.
Yeah, but what good things the opposition do. You watch enough at your training and when you're at work. There is an argument. You need time away from the game. You can't consume everything. Otherwise, you can get stale and mentally drained from it if you're consumed by the game all the time.
I know, but you can dial it up and dial it down. But wait, if there's a big game on, like you as a player or an aspiring NRL player, you should be watching that. Like some players, they say, "Oh, I didn't watch Origin." Are you mad?
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I would. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
we have about 30 seconds. Yeah, but if you can sum up your view, sorry, I know it's a short amount of time.
I would say, boys, that what coach do they need him to be? Not what coach does Benji want to be. What coach does the West Tigers need him to be? Every club probably needs a different attitude and a different coach to come in to fill a role. But for Benji at the moment, I just think he should be saying, okay, so regardless of balance, I'm all about promoting balance in life, but what do the Tigers need out of Benji for them to be successful? And for me, at this point, it's hard work. It's getting in there to learn the trade.
Two very valid arguments. We've got plenty more coming up on the Thursday Scrum, thanks to Ream Hot Water and Macca's. Gerds, we do apologise. We had to welcome in our Queensland viewers.
Yeah.
And you were making an excellent point about Benji Marshall and what coach the West Tigers need him to be. And he should be whatever the club needs. So do you think his style suits what they need and where they are at right now?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I didn't see that article today, but just before the break, you know, the boys were sort of debating whether or not Benji can come in late, finish early, and just be the coach that he wants to be. And I think at this stage of his career, and with a club like the West Tigers, with, you know, their performances over the last couple of years, you know, he just needs to go in there and he'll feel into that role and he'll be the coach that they need him to be. You know, he's got some young players there. I think it's really important that the coach sets the standard in relation to, you know, always being available for those guys. You never know when they're going to need you. So if they're around, you want to make sure that you're there for those guys as well. And and he's just got to find his own rhythm. But I think to start with, it's like any sort of new role that you're in, you know, get in there, do the hours, really learn the position. And then, you know, you can make it up as you go along. You'll get a feel for how you need to behave in those situations. But to start with, I'd imagine that he would, you know, he would want to be in there providing that service. And also, you know, like if you think about balance in life, You know, if you want to have a balanced life and enjoy your family, well, then don't be an NRL coach. Because if you speak to any of the guys that have been in the industry long enough, bellyache, and, you know, over the last couple of years, it's like, oh, I'd like to actually, you know, enjoy my family and meet my grandkids kind of thing, you know. So it's not the kind of life that provides balance. If Benji can bring that in and sort of revolutionise that role, well, good on him. But I'm not sure the Tigers, you know, with where they sit, in the sort of whole grand scheme of the NRL, is the place to go and find a balanced role.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gerds. I think, yeah, I think back to my former self and how much I was desperate to be a coach while I was playing, and then getting towards the back end of my career, was still highly motivated to be a coach. Actually applied for a job, missed out on it, had a look behind the curtain, and just went, actually, no.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be in a role that's unstable, that is all-consuming, that you're never present. Like, I speak to coaches around the traps and know Cam Serraldo quite well, but they're never actually present in conversation. There's, you know, 10 different things that they're juggling through their head at the time. And, you have to make that sacrifice. I was willing to pay that price and have that sacrifice as a player, but it ended there. Yep. And it just wasn't a price I was willing to pay post-playing career.
Yeah, and I hear all your points, and I've thought about these things myself post-career as well, but the only thing that doesn't sit well with me with the story is we're having a shot at a guy before ball's even been kicked off with his team. Like, Benji was always an individual freakish talent. He wasn't a typical mill athlete or player. He changed the way a lot of players looked at the game and played the game. So I think let's give him a chance. Let's let him do things his way. In 12 months' time, once the season wraps up, yeah, sure, we can look back and we can critique him then. Where could he be better, or did he do a great job? It's just, yeah, it doesn't sit well with me when we wash someone before they even get a chance to prove themselves.
Hey, hasn't Bulldog Richie got the reputation of being the laziest journalist at News Limited?
You should read the story, girls.
You know, it's been coming from him. It's been coming from the Bulldog.
And there were no official quotes. Yeah. They were anonymous sources. So we don't know genuinely. Mm. Benji could be coming in at the same time as the
other
coaches.
So we're reacting, assuming it's true. So we do have to take this with a pinch of salt, because we know.
If it's in the paper, it's true anyway.
Yeah. There we go. That is the voice of the one and only Todd Carney, who we are welcoming in to the Thursday scrum for the very first time. Toddy, how are you? And where do you sit on this issue?
Yeah, I'm really well, thank you. I'm a bit like the Wado. As Wado said, let's judge him in 12 months' time. Obviously, Benji has a play. He was not one out, but obviously he'd done things players couldn't do. And he's got players that he trusted when he played with when he was in 2005. He won a comp with Robbie Farah and Chris Hynington. He's got them on board with him. So obviously he trusts them as players. And now he's got them in the coaching staff. So let's judge him when the season's done, or in 10 weeks' time if they don't go well. Because what happens if in 5 weeks' time they've won 5 games? Where does this conversation go? He's going to be the best coach in the world then, or should all coaches start playing a little bit of golf or relaxing on their morals of being there at 5 o'clock and leaving at 6 o'clock? Let's just see how he goes at the start of the season, then we can judge him, because the poor bloke would be sitting at home without a ball even kicked, copping it from pillar to post. He probably thinks he's still playing.
And the thing is, like, he's going to make adjustments as the season comes as well. He's still learning as well. It's his first year as a full-time coach. So the things he's doing right now, he might not be doing them in 10 weeks' time, because he has to adjust on the run. So, again, like, let's give the man some time. Let's back him in. Like, let's hope for the best for him.
You know, I agree with you, Todd and Wade. But also, when you sign up to be an NRL coach, this is part of the dance that people are going to criticise before a ball's been kicked. People are all going to say, who's your favourite for the wooden spoon, or Tigers? Or I've heard this about Benji. They're going to pick apart things that may or may not be true. And that's what you sign up for a coach. You're going to have to deal with rumour, innuendo, gossip.
Speculation.
You know, training method. Yeah, you know, it was the same with and reputation. Your reputation is going to be pulled apart by people like us that sit on a radio show and say, "Oh, I'd do it if I was coaching the Tigers. This is what I'd do." It's like Benji's got to be smart enough to know these are just words from people that are paid to have an opinion and not take it personally. And that's part of being an NRL coach or a coach of any professional organisation.
Jimmy, when we think of most NRL coaches, like a Bellamy, a Brad Arthur. Perhaps, yes, that is their style, but that's not a Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett doesn't do that. Wayne Bennett is very casual, kind of comes and goes, whether it's the training, recruitment meetings. He's not full on.
He's 75.
Yeah, but was he's been consistent with his style. And I know he's won 7 comps, but that's never been his. And Wayne has a close relationship with him, still speaks to him regularly. Tends to be, so everyone says, that man manager like Wayne. Yeah.
But I think Wayne knows when to dial it up and dial it down. And Wayne usually I was coached by Wayne in the England team, and it very relaxed. But he was always out running. He was always doing weights. He was always on the team bus. He was always in and around the camp. He was always part of the boys. He was never just away. He was always there. And I think Wayne has a great ability to put trust in his players because he knows it. He knows the good players that are there. And also, he's been around the traps for so long. I don't think it's you can compare Benji Marshall to say, "Oh, I want to be like Wayne Bennett." You've got to go and earn that.
Yeah, just because you've been coached by Wayne doesn't mean you can coach like Wayne. And I wonder how Wayne was at the start of his career when he was back at Canberra making his way through. I mean, that's when the sleeves are rolled up and that's when, you know, you do the hours and you learn the trade and the craft. And I think, you know, if Benji doesn't know that already, I'd be really surprised. And if he doesn't know it now, I reckon within 5 or 6 weeks he will.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, I think this debate will continue, especially if the Tigers, we don't want them to. I don't want them to anyway. Start the season with a few losses, but everyone will have their say, as we know they always do. Time now to talk another issue, which I know Jimmy and Wade had, let's just say, a heated discussion about last week with Zach Lomax wanting out of the Dragons because he didn't want to play on the wing, wants to play in the centres, had an absolute blinder. Wade, you were texting us in the group thread and you were very happy.
Yeah.
After saying, you know, just stick it out. Don't kick stones, don't have a whinge, just see how you go and then you can reevaluate in a month or so.
Well, 100%. Well, the latest that we know is there's interest from the Eels, but the Dragons have rejected that interest at all and they said, no, Zach, from the moment you stay in put, we're not going to consider, well, Shane Flanagan came out, we're not going to consider a release. And I just think that's got to be put to bed now. Like, we saw what he can do and add to his team in terms of value, plus 200 metres. He carried hard out of the backfield. He found the try line. He kicked his goals. Mate, if he has another 5 games like that, that's it. 5, 6 games like that where he just works hard, keeps a bit quiet, keeps his head down and just, mate, produces games like that. Like, I know it's a bit early to be talking about Origin, but there's no reason why he can't be pushing for those positions in the outside backs in Origin with those numbers and consistent performances. No, Jimmy, you don't agree?
No.
They're fully fit, you've got, what, Foxy and Bizzo on the wings?
To'o
on the wings, right? If he's not what first drop, he's got to be second drop, Zach Lomax, if he's playing like that for another 10 weeks.
Yeah, look, I think in terms of Zach Lomax, firstly I want to say he didn't kick stones. He was professional. He may have asked for a release.
Is that not kicking stones, asking for a release?
Well, it is if you then go and don't perform. So if you ask for a release and carry on and don't perform, that for me is kicking stones. But I think you're within your rights to want to go and play in your best position in a team that's struggled for a number of seasons, where you feel that's your best position, where you feel that's you can play at your full potential. I think kicking stones would be if Zach just looked disinterested and didn't want to try and didn't want to get excited and didn't want to compete on kicks. The effort area, Zach was very good. Now, I know what you're saying about Zach Lomax in terms of his meters and his contribution, but let's look at the opposite side. Mika Ravalawa, he was under 100 meters. So what does that say to you about where the Gold Coast were kicking?
That doesn't matter to me at all. We're talking about No. You're creating other arguments here to defend yourself, mate. Let's just talk about Zach, mate.
Because your back three, you know, if you've got two solid wings, if you're playing against Penrith, how do you choose between kicking to Taruva and Brian To'o? Or Dylan Edwards, very difficult. But if you're playing against the Dragons, I know who I want to tackle. Yeah, and it's not Mika Ravalawa.
If he tackles Lomax on one, you're getting Ravalawa on two or three anyway, man.
Clearly not, because Ravalawa's carries were significantly lower. So I think it can be quite subjective. Like, it's like when front rowers, then they go, oh, I've ran over 200 metres, but he's had 6 kickoff carries and he's had you're on top of that, five tap carries.
Yeah, boys, I would also say, though, I mean, they're just different positions, you know. And if you grow up and you come through the system as a centre, you play a certain way and you look at what how, you know, Zach likes to play. He likes to get on the outside of guys, bring the winger in. He's got that little flick out the back. You know, he sees himself as a centre. He enjoys playing in the centres. He likes probably the defensive side. You know, he's a good defensive centre. He's a good decision maker. He likes the contact, you know. He likes to kick chase. There's certain parts of being a centre that he probably really likes and he feels comfortable in that role. To be sort of shifted to the wing, a place where he hasn't spent a lot of time, probably was a little bit confronting for him. It would have been confronting for me. But once he found himself in that role, as Jimmy said, you know, he made a real fist of it. He's got a big body. He's good under the high ball. He's got a lot of attributes that actually allow him to make that transition quite well. Now it's just about Flano explaining to him exactly what you've done, Wade, and saying, look, there's opportunities there. Look what's going on at Origin. Look how you contributed to the team. I'm sure he's a team-first mentality. Most guys have that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you want to go and play a position where you're going to feel vulnerable or uncomfortable, and that's probably how he would have felt. And now he's gone out and played the game. I thought he was one of the best players on the field. If he can put another three or four performances in like that, one, he might start enjoying the position. Two, he's probably going to understand the role more and what's needed there. And three, he's probably then going to go back to Flano and go, you know what, like, you know, I'm happy here. Let's just roll with this and see where it leads us.
Look, the reason Zach probably doesn't want to play wing is he likely feels a bit vulnerable as well. Like, for me, the key ingredient, the number one ingredient in any top-quality winger should be speed. And he would be on the lower end of the speed scale of the outside backs that are at the St. George Illawarra Dragons. So, you talk of Origin. I couldn't envisage Michael Maguire picking him to play State of Origin.
Mate, I'll tell you what Flano's game plan for Zach would be. It'd be, mate, carry hard out of the backfield. Yeah. That's what this team needs for you, which is what Origin's about. Carrying hard out of the backfield with your big body. Take your opportunities. Mate, Ben Hunt's going to kick to him all season. I made the argument last week. Daniel Tupou's made a career on that left wing with Luke Keary or any of the halves that the Roosters kicking to him because he's just so good in the air. Zach Lomax could be that threat for the Dragons and kick your goals. Mate, if you're a goal kicker, that's an added bonus in any team. And he is a good goal kicker. Focus on those three things for the team. Do it every week. He ran the most metres he has ever ran in an NRL game last week. That's 1 week on the wing. If he just goes back, continues to work hard, keep his head down and does his job, I'm telling you, he can push for a spot there.
Todd, do you reckon the fact that it's been publicised, that whether he wanted it to or not, that happens in rugby league, that he wanted out, and we see this at clubs every single year, but does it have the potential to distract either Lomax or his teammates or be destabilising in any way for the group?
Oh, definitely there'd be murmurs around the club that they're worried that he's going to leave, because as players in the Dragons, they don't want Zach to leave because he's one of their best players. The sad thing is that, obviously, once it's in the media, it stays in the media until something comes out of it. Now, Flano's put it to bed and said that he's not leaving the club, so it should be put to bed there. But the thing that does upset is that if he was to get back to the centres, what happens to Jack Bird then? Does now he want to leave the club because he's out of his position because he's not going to go to the back row? So it just changes. It upsets everyone if he gets his way in there. So I think if he, like he did last week, plays well on the wing each week and does the best thing for the team, that's all you want. You want to win each week. And I think if he plays on the wing and plays like that every week and everyone does their job, they win every week. And then all the stuff that's in the media and stuff like goes away because they're winning games. But if they lose games and he starts playing bad, it might be the Dragons might force a hand and just move him on. But the thing for Zach is if he plays well, he'll keep his position. And who knows, there could be injuries next week and he's back in the centres and then it all goes away. But I think for Zach, he needs to come out and say that he either wants to stay or go, because players will start to get annoyed with it. But they won't come out and say that because they don't want to upset the camp. They just want to continue to play footy. It's early in the year. The last thing they want to be doing is talking about Zach Lomax every week when they just had a really good win last week, and hopefully they win again this week and it slowly starts to filter out.
And that happens because the journos will go each and every week. If something's an article's being written, the narrative will keep getting regurgitated.
Well, winning takes care of everything. Yeah. And I think Flano, he's done his best to put it to bed. And you know, Zach actually addressing it himself as a player will help, you know, to keep quietening it down. But, yeah, as long as he takes care of his own performance and the team ultimately wins, which is why Flano's put him in that position, because he thinks it's where he can contribute the most to the team and for them getting the win. If they keep winning, he keeps playing well, the noise will get quieter and quieter.
Well, if there's one thing for sure, and I think it would boost Dragons fans, is that with Shane Flanagan in charge, he's not going to allow his best players to piss off and go and play for someone else at their expense. The only way he's going to do that is if the Dragons win from the situation. Mm. Same thing happened with Ben Hunt. Flano managed to convince him to stay, and he looks for all intents and purposes like he's going to play for this year and next year for Shane Flanagan. So he's having a positive influence there. And it's the same with Zach. I think he's shut that down because he knows he can add value to the team. He knows he's got a lot of potential, whether that be in the wing or the centre position. And he's not going to allow anyone else to take advantage of the Dragons' best player. So I think you've got to applaud Shane Flanagan for having this stance, because the easy option is to run with the narrative of, and it has been muted, that, well, don't have players in this group that don't want to be here. Well, hang on a minute. Let's see if we can change that. And it seems like he's doing that.
Alrighty, after the break, we are counting down to the blockbuster tonight up at Suncorp Stadium. It is the Broncos hosting the Rabbitohs. You're listening to the Thursday Scrum. We do it thanks to Macca's. There's magic in the air with Macca's new surprise fries. Just peel your fries for a 1 in 4 chance to find a prize.
Shut up! The foot is on Triple M! Triple M's Thursday Scrum.
Triple M footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.